Please, God.
This is God.
What chemical? 2-4-5 trioxin, it's called.
We have such sights to show you.
Hey there, everybody. Welcome to this week's episode of the Horror Crypt Podcast, episode number 90. Now, this movie that I'm going to be reviewing today is one of those movies that had the potential to be an absolutely amazing sequel. I think if they had have gone the way that it should have gone, it would have just been a brilliant sequel. Unfortunately, they went a completely other direction, and this movie just became an absolute mess. Not only is the storyline so ridiculously stupid, the music is by far, I mean, you could find anybody else to do the music. The music was so substandard, it was actually less than substandard. It was absolutely terrible. The acting, yeah, okay, we'll go with that. A lot of the special effects were, you know, the animatronics were very, very good. That's probably the highlight of the movie. But outside of that, this movie makes a mockery of the original. And I don't want to get too much into how bad this movie is, but just to say that when I saw this movie all those years ago in 1988, I went, yep, it's crap. How could they have done that to the first movie that I loved? And all these years on in 2022, watching it again, and it's even more crap than I remember. So yeah, unfortunately, this movie I do not have very high hopes for, and I will just give my, you know, 0 to 5 buckets of blood, 0 being how do I get the last 89 minutes of my life back, to 5 it was a perfect movie and I'd watch it all over again. I'm giving it a 2. I'm only giving it a 2 because I really don't know why I'm giving it a 2. Maybe a couple of funny things that actually happened in the movie, but for the most part, no. I'm going to give it a 2. But before I tell you what movie I'm going to be doing today, remember, I am on Instagram at Horror Crypt Podcast. I've also got my Horror Crypt Podcast on Facebook. And remember, I also have the Horror Crypt Cafe. Now, that's a group on Facebook. It's called Horror Crypt Cafe. You can come, you can hang out. We're actually going to do some live stuff this year, which is going to be great. So I'm hoping that everyone gets a bit of interest in that and partakes in the just sitting down, relaxing and talking about everything and nothing. I don't know what I'm going to be talking about, but I know that it's going to be something that's rather unique to this podcast. But, you know, if you want to join the Facebook group, it is Horror Crypt Cafe. If you don't want to follow me on Horror Crypt Podcast, that's okay. But if you want to come and visit me and follow me at Horror Crypt Cafe, that would be awesome. You can post things that you enjoy as far as movies, suggestions of movies that I might want to see. I've also got merchandise you can buy. I've got hats, t-shirts, and I've got beanies that you can buy. So, you know, if you want to do that, you can follow me. And remember, horrorcrypt2022@gmail.com if you want to get directly in contact with me. Now, I'm sure you're sitting here going, okay, well, all that out of the way, what movie are you going to be doing today? Well, we all love and adore the very first one of these movies. I am going to be doing the 1988, supposed to be comedy horror, all I can say is it's garbage horror movie, Return of the Living Dead Part 2. Now, this movie was made for $6.2 million. It had a box office return of $9.2 million. So it wasn't a resounding success. It was actually released by Lorimar Motion Pictures, and it did okay, but, you know, it's nothing to write home about. The original movie was way more successful, and I think at this stage they decided, well, let's see if we can actually recapture lightning in a bottle. And unfortunately, what they did is they fell so far short of the actual mark that the music, you know, how we remember the great synthesizer music and the rock music that was in the original Return of the Living Dead, this feels like someone just got a Casio piano and was mucking around on that and doing all sort of stupid sounds. It was just garbage. The music was so horrible. I was so disappointed in the music of this movie. And the way that the movie could have started, well, I'll let you know about that when I start doing the podcast. But before we get started, let's listen to the trailer of this really outstanding movie. Not Return of the Living Dead Part 2.
A deadly experiment. A freak accident. A secret that will be carried to the grave as the horror classic is reborn.
Return of the Living Dead, Part 2. Jesse will be the first to know. Billy will be the first to go.
We've got to get out of here. Get to the phone.
Seven of the living against an army of the dead, starved for life. Safe to be dead.
So now we can all agree of where the movie should have started. Now we all know that the end of the Return of the Living Dead, the very first one, there was a missile that was shot towards the town to try and destroy the zombie outbreak, and obviously the rain went, you know, the smoke went into the clouds, it rained, went back into the soil, and away we started again with another outbreak. But that's where it should have started. It should have started where, you know, a new outbreak is starting, or it starts off where people are going into the old town that's been destroyed. So in that regard, they go in, they try and eradicate what's going on still inside the quarantined area. That's where it should have started. But this doesn't start that way at all. It basically starts where you see a military truck and it's transporting barrels of trioxin. And of course, as you're driving along, and as you do, you know, with the military sort of situation, you've got one driver that's blazing it up with a joint, and he's got headphones on listening to rock music, and he's really not paying attention. And of course, it's pissing with rain also. And as he's driving along and goes over a couple of, you know, potholes in the road, over goes one of the barrels, into the river, and this is where we're going to be starting. So it's like, okay, I mean, and the driver didn't notice. I mean, of course, you've got one guy blazing away, the other guy sitting next to him, not, you know, just sharing the joint, but nobody is actually aware that this is happening. So this is where this movie starts. Basically, then we also transition over to the next morning. We've got some guys, well, young kids now. Jesse is, you know, looking out of his bedroom window to the front, and there's these two kids, Johnny and Billy, and for some reason they're wanting Jesse to become initiated into their group. And so there's poor old Jesse, and he's actually trying to find a comic book to give these little idiots. And he goes down there and he basically gives them the comic book, and Billy goes, great, you're in, you know, you're part of the club. And he's like, oh no, that's okay, I really don't want to be part of the club, I'm not really a joiner sort of situation. And they're like, too bad, you're in. And he's like, oh great, wow, can't work. Can't wait for this one. And I think it's the fact that these kids are bullies, and you know they're really frightening Jesse as far as what they would do to him if he didn't join this group. And you know, as I said, Jesse's not overly excited about joining this group anyway. But you know, to them it doesn't matter. It's like, well, too bad. So of course, as they're going through, Johnny and Billy decide to take Jesse to their clubhouse, which happens to be a mausoleum. And why would you have that there? I don't know. Even Jesse says, really? A mausoleum? You got it there? Why? And of course they're like, why don't you like our clubhouse? And he's like, oh no, it's really great. And they go to basically put him into the mausoleum, and luckily Jesse escapes, and he basically flees to a stormwater drain. And of course he's hiding behind a whole lot of rubbish, and of course, you know, as usual, the bullies do catch up with him. But as they go to grab a hold of him, they notice that there is a barrel. That is the barrel of the 245 trioxin. And it's like, oh, okay. And of course, you know, good old Billy goes, well, finders keepers. And they drag the barrel out. And of course, you can see the keypad has not been destroyed. So it's like, okay, well, that's safe then. Of course, what do we always think? Yes, it might be safe. We might think it's safe. But no, it's not going to be. Because one of the kids happened to crack open the front of the control panel. And of course, there's, you know, you've got the little numbers there. And I find it interesting that all he has to do is press three buttons. And then suddenly, you know, it starts to... everything starts to happen. So, you know, He presses, I think, 5, 4, and I think 3. And, of course, it goes from the green light to the red light. And the red light's flashing away madly. And the kids are like, okay. And Jesse's like, I really don't want to be here at all. And, of course, when the red button just goes absolutely out of control, the red light goes out of control, the front of the barrel opens up and we see a very, very insignificant, well, it's supposed to be Tar Man Part 2, but we all know that Tar Man Part 1 was the best one, but this is a very substandard Tar Man. And of course, they absolutely, you know, scream and they go running away. But of course, it's at this stage that, you know, there's a good chance that Jesse thinks to himself, well, there's a number on the barrel, because they scrape it off and they can see there's a number on the barrel for the army. And he decides he's going to call the number on the barrel. But of course, no, that's not going to happen at all, because Billy and Johnny having to grab a hold of him and throw him into the mausoleum and lock him in. So it's like, oh, wonderful kids we've got here. And you want me to be part of this group? I can't wait. Of course, you know, Billy and Johnny go back to where the barrel is. And when they do happen to press the last button, it releases all the gas into the air. And of course, it does happen to, you know, spray straight into Johnny and Billy's face. And it's interesting because we see it directly spray both of them in the face, except when it comes to the transformation into a zombie, spoiler alert, Billy is the only one that transforms. It sprays Johnny just as much as it sprays him, but we never see Johnny ever again, so we don't know whether he's actually been transformed into a zombie. It's almost like the kid was told, listen, that was the last part of the shoot, you know, for the day of the movie, so don't worry about coming back, we've got all your scenes. No, this is basically left so open, we don't know what the hell's happened to Johnny. So it's at this stage that poor old, you know, poor old Jesse is locked in this mausoleum, and he's trying to get out, and he thinks to himself, well, there is a window up there, you know, because it's fairly high, and he tries to get up into out of the window, and unfortunately, on doing so, because he pulls out a coffin to stand on to basically get a better idea to how to get out of this area, he falls through the coffin. Of course, he falls through the dead body. And it's like, but it's interesting, there's a little bit of a gaffe there, because the stunt person, now, Jesse has blonde hair, and this guy, whoever it was, the stunt person, had blonde hair. So it's like, sorry, brown hair. So it's like, wow. You can sort of see the transition. It's really, it's all over the place. This movie, as I said, when I was seeing it in 88, I was thinking to myself, yeah, this is a great movie until the end of the movie. And then I went, wow, that was a whole pile of garbage. So far, yeah, it's so bad as it is. So now we transition to a trio of grave robbers by the name of Ed, Joey, and Brenda. Funny enough, Ed and Joey are reprising their role as Frank and, God, what was the other guy's name? Freddy. Frank and Freddy from the original Return of the Living Dead. So they're actually reprising their role as two grave robbers by the name of Ed and Joey. And of course, Ed is the guy who's running it, and Joey is the one that's just basically coming along. And he basically tells Brenda, listen, this guy is offering me $100 for a night's work, so hey, I can't turn it down. We find out that these guys are going into graves, and someone is actually paying them to cut the heads off of the corpses and put them into bags, and because they, for some reason, they need the heads of these dead people. And of course, they're also finding, like, you know, gold rings and diamond rings and necklaces and jewelry on, you know, people that have been you know, buried. And basically, it's like, you know, there's Ed saying, hey, if you stick with me, you know, you can have this gold locket, or you can have this gold chain, or, you know, something for your girlfriend. It's like, oh, okay, this is really... And, you know, Brenda's really creeped out about this. She's like, I really don't want you to be working in a graveyard. And he's like, well, I can't really pass it up. $100 for a night's work. I guess in 1988, $100 for a night's work was pretty good. And I guess even now, it's not too bad. But I think I'd actually need a little bit more incentive than to running around the graveyard, you know, chopping the heads off of corpses and stealing jewelry. And you think to yourself that there is a good chance that the man upstairs, if you believe that, might be sitting there going, yeah, I don't think we should be doing this right now, and I'm going to kick your ass for it. So when Ed and Joey do go into the cemetery where they start to loot the tombs in the mausoleum where Jesse is, luckily they manage to get Jesse out of there. He basically, you know, pops up and runs out, and of course they're like, you know, you come back and I'm going to kick your ass. But now we see that the trioxin is now all over the graveyard, and it's going up into the air like it did the very first time, and now it's raining and it's soaking the ground. Now this is where I find it really, really hard to really take this movie seriously, because as the zombies are coming out of the ground, you know, they, it's almost like that they should actually be part of a Michael Jackson Thriller video. They're coming out of the ground. A couple of them are putting on glasses so they can see better. Other people, dead people are coming out of the ground. Other zombies are coming out of the ground. Falling out of the grave, as if they're exhausted from climbing out. There's one that goes to get out of the grave, and one of the other zombies actually steps on his hand, and then he pulls his hand away again because another one's coming, and a third one happens to walk over and step on his head and pushes him back down into the grave. So it's this stupidity. Now, we can all remember when the zombies first started to come out of the ground in number one, they were terrifying. These ones are just idiots. It's not even scary. I mean, this is really more of a, definitely a comedy rather than a horror movie. I know they say comedy horror, but this is just, and it's upsetting that Dan O'Bannon didn't decide to come back and do this movie. He left it to a completely other director who really screwed it up. I mean, as I said, the music was terrible, the acting subpar, the storyline basically from a Disney movie. I mean, it's almost like you're watching an episode of Goosebumps, and I've never seen an episode of Goosebumps, but I can only imagine that sort of, it's so campy, so ridiculous. I mean, look, we even have a situation where when the zombies are coming into a home chasing somebody, as one of the guys are wrestling with one of these zombies, they happen to roll onto a remote control that turns on Jazzercise, and that stops the zombies in their tracks to sit there and watch Jazzercise. You've also got a bunch of zombies that happen to overtake an army checkpoint, and about, I don't know, maybe 8 of them jump into the Jeep and start driving around the town. A bunch of zombies driving around in the town? Are you fucking kidding me? It's this stupidity that I sit there and go, I cannot believe I actually paid money to buy this movie. I mean, I just, and this is why I've said I'm going to give it a score of 2 out of 5, because I'm just going to go with the fact that it's got the words Return of the Living Dead. That's the only thing I'm going to give, 2 out of 5 for. It's, everything else is just stupid. So, of course, Jesse returns home and is ordered to do his homework by his older sister. His older sister, Lucy, she's a bitch. She is really a nasty piece of work. I don't think she even really likes her brother. I think if she could put him into the basement and chain him to the wall, that's exactly where she'd like him to go. It's the love there. There's no chemistry with any of the actors. You can't see any interaction with them that you'd actually say that she even likes her brother. There's just no chemistry at all in this situation. But of course, we have a cable repairman, Tom. He comes to do an installation, and she's like, yeah, well, you were supposed to be here 3 hours ago. And he's like, yeah, well, this is a new area, and I got confused and got lost. And once again, it's a scene that goes nowhere. So as we're following Jesse, he goes into Billy's house to see him, but he's suddenly fallen ill. Now, we know that he's breathed in the 2,4,5 trioxin. As I said, we don't know where the hell the other kid is. We just know that Johnny's off somewhere, but we're just focusing on Billy. So, Billy's mum says, well, listen, you can't come into the house. You can. And he's like, well, I've got some homework. Well, you can give it to me. No, I've got to tell him. He won't understand. So she's like, okay. So Jesse goes up into Billy's bedroom, and he finds that Billy is just looking like he is ready to keel over right here, right now. And of course, Billy does threaten him and say, if you tell, I'm going to kick your ass. So he's like, yep, I won't do that. But you can see that there is something really significantly wrong with this kid. So suffering from the effects of trioxin, Billy warns Jesse not to tell anyone what he found. And this is why Jesse wanted to actually get back to the barrel to write down the telephone number, because he did see property of the US Army. So it's like, well, they might be missing it, And it's really interesting as well, because we do see at one stage a transition back to where the Army are, and there are two barrels that are sitting in this military compound with some MPs guarding it. And the very first, the first colonel that was in the original movie sort of like gets out of the car and walks over and goes, good God, not again. It's like, okay, this is where it should have ended. It should have started. It should have started where they found the barrels. It's like, okay, it may be happening again. Let's go into that town that we destroyed with the weapon. But they didn't do that. They started at completely a stupid area that they've started. And this is why I get really frustrated with this movie. It could have been absolutely amazing, but it really wasn't. So, unfortunately, against his friend's wishes, Jesse returns to the sewer to further examine the barrel. And this is where he goes, and you know, you can see that there's nobody in the barrel because this tar man has released himself. And he follows, he's got, you know, a flashlight, Jesse has, and Jesse follows the footsteps. And, of course, we see tar man is standing there, and he's like, you know, brain sort of situation. Now, you know, the other tar man had to be taken out with a baseball bat to the head. And then they tripped him down and locked him in the basement. Well, this one is not very, you know, terrifying at all, because Jesse runs out of the sewer but turns to his right, and he's standing there waiting for Tarman to come out chasing him. And of course, at that stage, as Tarman comes out of the sewer, he then, you know, Jesse goes behind him and pushes him into the water, and Tarman falls maybe three feet into the water. That's it. That's how you disperse Tarman. That's how you get rid of him. It's like, really? That's how we get rid of Tarman? The other one had to get a baseball bat, but all you need to do is go up behind him and push him? Are you fucking kidding me? So this doesn't really make any sense either, because that's the only way that you get rid of him. Throw him into the water. Okay, he's done. So basically now we've got Jesse running around. He's fleeing to the cemetery, and of course he can see the resurrected bodies beginning to dig their way out of the ground. And this is where, as I said, you see the instance where a dead person's coming out of the ground, and one, you know, one comes out of the ground to lift himself up, and he gets his hand stepped on, and he, of course, he's standing there again trying to get out of the ground, and another zombie's coming over, and he moves his hand out of the way as if to say, nope, you're not going to get me. But then a third one comes, steps on his head, and pushes him back into the ground. So I was like, wow, that's really awesome, you know. So meanwhile, Brenda goes to check on her companions and encounters a zombie. But she's able to get away, and she's you know, running around the place going, oh, the van, you can take the van. And of course, this, you know, this thing is just basically, he's not scary. It's basically a Michael Jackson. I think Michael Jackson's zombies were more terrifying than this is. This is just ridiculous for ridiculous sake. And of course, it's at that stage she turns and sees a zombie in front of her. She punches him dead in the face, and of course, basically caves his face in. Whole lot of goo goes all over her hand, and she just starts running away. And the zombie, punching him in the face, kills him now. He just falls backwards, and that's it. He's dead. So as she's running around trying to find Ed and Joey, they pass each other. And it's at this stage that, you know, Ed and Joey are trying to get away from a situation, because they were in the mausoleum when suddenly, you know, they're sitting there having a sandwich and having something to eat. Because Ed's like, you know, oh, man, it's very cold in the air tonight. Look, there's some swamp gas coming underneath the door. And it's at this stage that, you know, Joey's sitting there just, you know, having a cup of coffee, and looks behind where Ed was. And where Ed was sitting, there was an open coffin. And, of course, there's a zombie comes out. It's at this stage that Joey grabs a crowbar and smashes it into his head. But, of course, unfortunately, that doesn't work. So they go running out of the mausoleum trying to find Brenda. So Brenda is absolutely hysterical, running all over the place. And, of course, they do cross paths. And Brenda's like, what did you do, Joey? And, of course, this is Ed's like, no, it's nothing to do with him. It's to do with me. It's my sin. I shouldn't have done this. I didn't realize that God, you know, had still, you know, was still doing stuff with these zombies, you know, or the bodies. I'm so sorry, God. And it's like, get your ass up and let's go. So they start running, you know, trying to get into the van. Now, this is where I sit there and go, why do you do this in stupidity? Now, we've followed Jesse back to the house, and Jesse has got the telephone number for the army. He's dialed the army. He's got through to the army. They're transferring him to the colonel, and we're waiting for the colonel to get on the telephone. It's at this stage that Ed and Joey and Brenda are in a van trying to get out of where the cemetery is. So now, as they're driving, I'm sorry, it seems that I'm rushing through this movie, but I'm really not. I'm just skipping over all the bullshit of this movie. So as they're driving along, Joey says, which way? Ed says, go left. Brenda says, go right. What does he do? He goes straight ahead and takes out the telephone transmission and knocks out all the phones around the place. Just as Colonel Glover is about to answer the phone to say what's going on, the phone goes dead. So it's like, oh, there we go. So it would have actually, with Jesse calling the army, it would have actually helped to speak to Colonel Glover, who was the one that actually helped with put out the outbreak in Louisville, Kentucky. But of course, the call gets disconnected. And of course, this is where Ed and Joey and Brenda go to They're trying to find some sanctuary, and they're running through the neighborhood, and of course there's all zombies following after them, and they happen to go into Jesse's house, where his sister, and you've got this telephone repair guy that's in there as well. Tom, his name is. So they all basically crowd into the house and shut the door, and they're like, oh my God, this is all happening. And of course, Jesse's like, yeah, I know what's going on. I saw it firsthand. And of course, now it's at this stage that we have already seen that Ed has got a bag, and in the bag, he'd actually managed to chop off the head of a corpse and put it into the bag. Now, Joey's been running around with it, so now he's given the bag to Ed, and we see that the bag is starting to move. And of course, it's like this screaming of, oh my God, I can't believe this is happening. And so when Ed takes the head out of the bag and points towards the head happens to grab a hold of his finger and bites his finger. To this stage, he basically is screaming and pulls his finger out of the mouth of this zombie and throws it onto the ground. And they're all saying, get rid of it, get rid of it. Well, Tom grabs a screwdriver and slams it into the head of the zombie. Now, you'd think that basically we just put it into the zombie's head and throw it outside. Well, no, this is the ridiculousness of this movie. And this is exactly what happens when he puts the screwdriver into the zombie's head.
Get that damn screwdriver out of my head!
So now, are you absolutely terrified of that scene, or are you laughing your ass off? Well, I tell you what, I'm laughing my ass off, because that is just absolutely stupid. You've got a zombie saying, get the screwdriver out of my head. Like, really? Come on, give me a break. So now we see that Joey is beginning to fall ill from the trioxin, and the zombie's closing in on the house. The grave robbers attempt to find a getaway car. They don't get a getaway car. They happen to go and grab Tom's work van and take that. So I was like, oh, beautiful, no worries, we're now stealing the work van. So of course, as they drive through, they do happen to get to the doctor's house. There's a doctor a couple of houses down, and they manage to convince him to let them use his car, because it's like, okay, we've got to get out of here. The work van's, you know, doesn't have enough room for everyone. Maybe this car does. So they take off, and of course, as they're going, they drive to a hospital to go to the emergency room, and this absolutely appears to be deserted. Like, there's nobody there. And of course, at Billy's house, his condition is now worsening. And of course, his father leaves to get a doctor. Unfortunately, Billy's father happens to get attacked by a huge amount of zombies. It's at this stage that Billy's mother sees him attacked and eaten by a group of zombies, runs back inside. And of course, we see that Billy has now transformed into a zombie and is standing at the top of the stairs. And she goes over to basically get, you know, be consoled by, you know, her son. Like, oh my God, what are we going to do? It's at this stage that Billy then happens to look at his mother and takes a bite out of her skull. And she's dead. And it's like, okay, it's this quick. This is how the movie goes. I mean, it's going from one house to a car, to a building, back into a car, to another building, back into a car, to a house, back into a car. It's just the transition between areas that we're going to. It's not like the original one where we were at the warehouse, then we went to the mortuary, then we went back to it was all over the place, this one. And it was just, it's all over the place, unfortunately. So of course, at the hospital, we're finding that, you know, Joey and Ed are definitely turning into zombies. So it's the other guys, Tom, Lucy, and Joey decide to get into a car, Jesse, and go to Jesse's grandfather's house and break in and basically get a whole lot of guns and weapons and ready to go, because we're going to basically take out the zombies. I don't know how they figure that guns are going to stop the zombies, because it didn't stop them in number one. How are they going to figure out it's going to stop in number two? Oh, well, it doesn't matter. So they get back to the hospital, where Ed and Joey are experiencing symptoms of rigor mortis. And this is where the doctor is like, you know, we really need to contain these two. You know, I think they're going to be dangerous. And, you know, Brenda is very upset with the fact that the diagnosis for Joey is to basically, you know, maybe confine him. So she's like, nah, screw this. I'm going to take him to another hospital and get a second opinion. And of course, like, okay. So as she's going and taking Joey, Ed follows them and jumps into the car with them. So like, oh, okay. And so they're driving along, and of course we see that Ed is starting to really transform, like he did the very first time. He was the very first one that transformed into a zombie, but then decided to cremate himself. So it's at this stage that Ed is really starting to transform in the back seat, Joey sitting in the front. It's at this stage that they happen to be stopped at a checkpoint by the National Guardsman, which is under Glover's command, and they get fired upon to basically say, you know, don't come any closer. They don't know that they're not zombies. And Brenda's like, oh, no, it's okay, we're fine. Of course, it's at this stage that Ed has become fully zombified and attacks and kills one of the soldiers, causing his squad mate to flee. So Brenda drives away, and basically she says to Ed, look, okay, Ed, stay there, calm down. And it's almost like you can reason with these zombies. It's not like the original zombies where you couldn't reason with them, other than the one they actually happened to get onto the examination table and ask, why do you eat brains? And she was able to respond back to him. But it's at this stage that when Brenda says, you know, stay here, Ed, I'll be back. And he basically is looking at her as if to say, okay, I'll wait here. Of course, as Brenda drives away with Joey, Brenda is unfortunately attacked by a zombified Joey. And this is where it's really interesting, because she pulls over the car and runs out into a church. And she's having to dodge a lot of zombies. But of course, you've got Joey hot on her heels. And, you know, this is not terrifying. This really is not terrifying at all. He's chasing her down, but he is able to talk to her very calmly. And this is how this scene actually goes down.
Brenda!
Ah, Joey! You stay away from me!
Oh, Brenda, your brain smells so good, so rich and spicy.
Spicy?
Yeah.
I think it's at this stage I'm almost on the verge of tears to show you just how terrifyingly bad this movie is. I mean, seriously, you're having a conversation with a dead guy and he says your brain smells spicy. Like, come on, man. Like, it was just a lot more terrifying when he was after Tina than this girl. But unfortunately, Brenda decides that, you know what, okay, I'm willing to let you cannibalize me. So she basically just says, okay, Joey, go ahead. And of course, then you see him, you know, attack her and, you know, bite into her skull. So I was like, oh, okay. So fleeing in a stolen ambulance, the survivors come to a roadblock and the National Guard mistakenly open fires on them, thinking they're zombies. Of course, we realize now that the whole town has been evacuated. So Tom thinks of a new strategy to give the zombies what they want and drives them to a meat packing plant. On the way there... Okay, so you think to yourself that maybe the zombies are just after human beings, their brains. But we see, as they're driving to the meatpacking plant, we happen to come across a pet store. And the pet store is being attacked by zombies. And they are attacking dogs and cats and birds because they basically want to go after their brains. So they're severely attacking a pet store.
Oh, the pet store...
So, of course, they take a truck and distribute the brains out the back as they drive to a power plant, intending to electrocute all the zombies. This is actually a good idea, because as they were driving in the ambulance, a zombie happened to go in front of the ambulance, and they hit the zombie, and the zombie fell back, went into an electronic sign, and was electrified. So they're like, aha, that's the way we get rid of these zombies. Well, that makes sense, doesn't it? Yeah, it does make sense, but this movie doesn't make sense at all. So they decide they're going to electrocute all of the zombies. So Billy opens the gate. So as they're driving in, we've got all the zombies that are coming towards. They're following the truck, so they're coming towards the gate. And it happens to be that they close the gate and leave all the zombies on the outside. Of course, we know that Billy, who is now a zombie, happens to climb over the chain link fence, presses the button, and Billy opens the gates. And of course, now we've got the zombies now attacking them, you know, running towards the truck. Unfortunately, Jesse is attacked by Billy, and of course, the only way to get rid of him is that he happens to stab him with a screwdriver into the mouth. And of course, we think, oh, okay, so now we've actually got rid of Billy. Yeah, that doesn't really work. And now we see that the zombies are now cornering the truck against a wall. So it's like, okay, what are we going to do? Now, we do happen to have... Jesse, Tom, and Lucy are now in the back of the truck because they've actually had to pull the back of the truck down to try and keep themselves safe. And they're like, okay, so what are we going to do now? Now, we've also got the doctor, who is now in the power plant with a remote control, with a walkie-talkie, ready to pull the turn the switch on to electrify all the zombies because they've put brains into puddles of water. Yes, you heard it correctly. Before the zombies attacked the truck, they was given enough time to put calves' brains and beef brains into puddles of water so the zombies can go there and basically get electrified. Unfortunately, it comes to the point now that the zombies are attacking the truck, so they're now in the back trying to figure out how are we going to get to the doctor to let him know to turn the switch on. To this stage, they see a little hatch above the, where the drivers would be, and we see that, oh, well, the only way that we can get through is maybe Jesse can get out of the back of the truck and into the driver's seat. Now, this kid is 10. Now, I don't know about you, but it took me a while to figure out how to drive a stick shift in a car, let alone a truck. But the other guy, Tom, is going to talk Jesse through to be able to drive the truck a little bit further, so it gives a lot more room for them to electrify the zombies. Of course, he does it successfully. Wow, after the first shot, he manages to drive a truck straight into a wall, and the zombies are following the truck. But of course, now they're trying to break into the back of the truck, and it's this stage that Jesse runs into the power plant and turns the switches on, the transformer on, and of course, it starts to electrify all the zombies. Now, you think to yourself, okay, this movie cannot get any worse. It does. It really does. As the zombies are being electrified and everyone is getting electrocuted, we see at about the last maybe 10 minutes of the movie, while the zombies are getting electrified, Michael Jackson. A zombie dressed as Michael Jackson comes in and does a bit of the Thriller moves to get electrified and falls dead in front of the camera. Yeah, this is exactly what happens. It's at this stage that Commander Glover, or whatever his name is, the Army Colonel Glover, comes in and his men arrive, and they contain the scene and lead the others away to safety. We also see that the zombie head, now I don't know how the hell it even got there, because it was thrown outside of Jesse's house. It's laying up against a wall, and it's like, you know, come on guys, you know, enough with the fire. Of course, they've got a flamethrower, and of course, one of the army officers fires at the head and burns part of its face off, and it goes, okay, no more brains for now. The movie goes black, and that is the end of the movie. Now, I'm sorry if it felt like I was rushing this podcast, but I really wasn't. This is how quickly this movie goes through. There is so much padding in the movie that is not needed. You know, you've got a zombie using the walkie-talkie to basically tell them to come back to the hospital. Oh, by the way, who's the current president of the United States? And the zombie comes back with, and you literally see him sitting there going, now who could it be? Oh, Harry Truman. And of course, it's like, yep, no, that's not it. In 88, it would be someone else. So really, it's that stupid. It's dumb. You know, a lot of the scenes, I mean, as I said, the animatronics of this movie were great, but it's just a lot of padding for padding's sake. And the music is one of those soundtracks that you won't want to go and buy. Like, I would love to have this full soundtrack of The Return of the Living Dead, the original. I would never, ever go searching for the synthesized Casio piano player that's actually playing the background music of this movie. It's just really, really bad. And I was so disappointed when I saw this movie in 88 because of where they could have started it. And I'm even more upset now watching it, knowing that this movie that could have been so much better is just that much worse. And it really does a disservice to the original movie, because the original movie, as far as I am concerned, was absolutely wonderful. Tarman was great. Trash, Suicide were great. Every cast member in that movie was wonderful. You know, even the zombies coming out of the ground was believable and terrifying. This is just asinine. As I said, there's one female zombie that comes out of the ground, can't see what she's doing, so she literally puts on her glasses and goes, oh, now I can see. The way they walk, the way they act, I mean, you know, a lot of zombies in a lot of movies we've seen, they're fast. These guys, you can run towards them, move a little bit to the left or the right, and you're missing them out of the way. They don't swarm at all. They're just basically just walking along. As I said, it's like watching the soundtrack or the zombies in Thriller. It really is that bad. And as I said, in fact, those ones are more terrifying. So look, you know, as I said, 0 to 5 Buckets of Blood, I'm giving it a 2, simply because they've got The Return of the Living Dead in the title. Outside of that, the acting is terrible. The animatronics was good. The soundtrack, abysmal. The storyline, stupid. It's almost like a Goosebumps episode. So if you've got kids who watch Goosebumps, yeah, this is about as terrifying as you'll see it, really. Before we get the end of this podcast, let's do Paul's Fun Facts. Now, it's absolutely hard to believe that this movie has got any trivia at all, but it's actually got 34 pieces of trivia. And one of the amazing bits of trivia that we've got is Tom Matthews disliked the sequel so much that he said the best part about making the film was the outstanding catering services. See, I told you that was probably the best part of the whole movie. The Michael Jackson zombie in the last part was improvised on the spot. Hey, you think that actually that was not very, very clear? It just looked stupid. The music score on the US DVD release is almost completely different to the original theatrical release. I didn't know this. I didn't realize they had two different sound musical scores. Apparently this was to do with the fact that they were having difficulties obtaining the rights to the original song. So it's like, oh, okay. But apparently the when they released it in Blu-ray, they also restored the original Lorimar Picture logo and the music from the original movie. So I guess that's something as far as, you know, that goes. But I just, yeah, it's just, unfortunately, it's just really bad, you know. So now when the zombies are all electrocuted, we think to ourselves, wow, that looks really cool. Great special effects. Yeah, the blue electrocution lines in the final sequence were all hand-drawn, frame by frame, and cost over $50,000. Are you fucking kidding me? 50 grand to draw blue electrical lights all over the place. Like, give me... Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm face-palming myself so hard. I think I'm going to have brain damage by the end of this bloody podcast. So, unfortunately, despite having directed several horror pictures, director Ken Wiederhorn was not a fan of the horror genre. Many cast and crew members expressed in interviews that they were displeased with his lack of enthusiasm towards the project. See, yeah, and that is very, very clear. When you watch this movie, you can see that there's just no real effort put into it. You know, as I said, the prosthetics was like, eh. The animatronics, yeah, not too bad. The music, terrible, abysmal, don't even think about it. But it really is so disjointed, and you can really see that he was sitting there going, so when is lunchtime? When can I wrap this up? I really don't want to do this anymore. So really, Ken Wiederhorn has got a lot to answer for, because really, it's a mess. Just a couple more before we finish off this podcast. So writer-director Ken Wiederhorn was trying to get out of the horror genre at the time Lorimar Pictures bought the script. Once the film was released, he received nothing but horror comedy directing opportunities. That really shows you in this movie just how bad he really was as far as a director. And yeah, I haven't seen any of his other work or previous work, but I don't think I'm going to be racing off to find it anytime soon. And just the last one, the street where Jesse and his family live was in fact a tract housing development still under construction. See, there you go. Although I would have thought that maybe they could have actually integrated that into the original, into the start of this movie, as far as this was part of the original place that was blown up by the army to get rid of the zombies, but they didn't actually get that going. I really don't know what they were trying to do with this movie. All I know is that it's upsetting and it's disappointing that a movie such as The Return of the Living Dead can be graced with part two that is so bad that you look at the number one and go, that is a masterpiece. And in all honesty, number one really is. Number one is a movie that I will go back time and time again to watch. It's enjoyable, it's fun, it's a great movie. This one I've seen now, well, twice in my entire life. This is a movie that I'm going to basically be putting into my collection, going, I've got it, but I'll never go and revisit it unless, for some strange reason, I've got nothing to do for that day and I might watch it again, but I cannot see that happening anytime soon. So anyway, thank you so much once again for coming to visit me at the Horror Crypt Podcast. Remember, it's all social platforms. I'm on Instagram, Horror Crypt Podcast. I am on Facebook, Horror Crypt Podcast, and I've got the community up and running, Horror Crypt Cafe. So you can come there, join the community. We've all like-minded individuals as far as we love talking about horror movies. So as I said, we're going to do a live, a bit of a live sort of podcast sometime this year. I haven't really figured it out yet, but it's going to happen. I have also got coffee mugs, as in with merchandise, t-shirts, hats, and I've also got beanies. So if you want to get in contact with me, horrorcrypt2022@gmail.com, and I can set you up with some of those. And yeah, it's just, as I said, the community that I've actually done, the Horror Crypt group, is just something on Facebook that if you don't want to follow the Horror Crypt podcast just, you know, one-on-one, you can get into this group and you can connect with like-minded people who love horror movies. There we go. Anyway, thank you very much once again, and I look forward to you guys coming back next week. And until then, I will say, creep you later.
What chemical? 2,4,5 trioxin, it's called. It was to kind of spray on marijuana or something, and the Darrow Chemical Company was trying to develop it for the Army. And they told the guy who made the movie that if he told the true story, they'd just sue his ass off. So he changed all the facts around.
So what really happened?
Well, they closed it all down, see? And the Army shipped all that contaminated dirt and all those dead bodies out. And they kept it a secret.
So how come you know about it?
What typical Army fuck-up. The Transportation Department got the orders crossed. And they shipped those bodies here. Instead of to the Darrow Chemical Company.